The following material is brought to you by Riverside Baptist Church in Riverside, California, where clarity, eternity, and charity are our motto. We invite you to join our services at Riverside Baptist. For more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com.
He is the head of the church, and that is a categorical description of his preeminency. And that's why in our church today, I want us all to look to him for guidance, to look for him for governance, to look to him for everything that we do, for everything that we say from this pulpit, in our classrooms, in all of our services. We look to Christ. Why? Because he is the head of the church, not the pastor, not the deacon, not the trustees, not the members. Christ is.
In other words, Christ is the brains of the operation, and rightly so, because he is the one who said, "I will build my church." Hello, my name is Mark, and I'm your host for our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. Sometimes in church, we squabble with one another, but if Jesus is the brains and we are the body, it makes sense to stop squabbling and consult the brains of the operation to find out what we need to do. If we are aware that Jesus is in charge, then we should realize we need to obey because he is God in the flesh. In today's sermon, Pastor Christian quickly reviews the main countermeasure against false teaching. Then he goes into the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Listen now as our congregation reads Colossians 1, 19 through 22.
Colossians 1, 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Thus far is the reading of God's word. And my prayer this morning is that he would bless it in our hearing, in our minds, in our hearts. It would ring in our ears the truths of the preeminence of Jesus Christ, not only in the universe, but in the life of the church and in your individual lives. May the Lord bless it indeed. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Last Lord's Day, I preached on the four descriptions of Jesus Christ as the main countermeasure for the Colossians in the occasion where Satan hurled his deceptive doctrines. The first of those descriptions is that Jesus Christ is the image of God. He is not only made in the image of God, like you and I are made in the image of God. He is the very image of God. That is to say, if God, who is a spirit, and you cannot see, girls, you cannot see a spirit, can you? But if you were to put God in front of a mirror, who do you see? You see Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be the image of God. And in another analogy, I told you that if you were to squeeze God, what do you get? If you were to squeeze an orange, you would get a? If you were to squeeze an apple, you would get a? Apple juice. If you were to squeeze God, you were to get who? Jesus Christ, because He is the exact representation of God. He is the image of the invisible God. That speaks of His deity. That tells us that He is God. No, sir, He's not just a good man or a good teacher or a good prophet. He is God. No, sir, He's not just a good individual with which or to which we can follow a great example. He is more than that. Yes, He is a good man. Yes, He was a good prophet. Yes, He was a good ruler indeed and a good example indeed for all of us to follow. But He is the image of the invisible God. Therefore, that makes Him God. The second description that we find in Colossians, with which the Apostle Paul and Pastor Timothy gave to Epaphras, the pastor of Colossians, is that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of every creature. How many of you here were born firstborn in the family? I'm raising my hand because I'm one of them. Don't you feel nice about that? Don't you feel the superiority that you have amongst your siblings? Sometimes, you know, you feel that. And sometimes you kind of go to that kind of a resort. I am the firstborn of the family. Well, that is true that Christ was first in time because He preceded everything. But the emphasis here of the firstborn is that of prototokos, from the Greek word prototokos. And we have an English derivative of that where we call a prototype of something. Yes, Jesus preceded everything in time because He was first, but He is also first in rank. He is first in rank. He is the highest rank He could ever have. In the military, the 4-star general is the highest rank that you could ever have. But there have been times in our history where there was a 5-star general to supersede all of the 4-star generals in our history of wars. One of them was Douglas MacArthur, and the other one was General Eisenhower. But did you know that Congress tried to lift up General George Washington as one who superseded all the generals of all time? And so, virtually, he is declared as a 6-star general. Well, that is what the emphasis here that we find, that Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation, meaning He is first in rank. He is supreme commander of everything. And the Apostle Paul gave the reason for that. Why? Because not only is He the one preceding everything, not only is He the one who is supreme over everything, He is the one who made everything. That speaks of His supremacy. The third description that we find in Colossians of Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ is the sustainer of all things. Now, I love what the Apostle Paul said here in verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I was talking to a couple of gentlemen this week about this because it just blows my mind to think that Jesus Christ is the one who holds everything in His hands. Now think of the implications of that. There's a couple of verses in the Bible where God says, I am the one who tells the sun to rise from the east. And I say, sun, you set on the west. And the sun obeys. God is telling the waves, the ebb and flow of the waters on the ocean, you come here to this point and no farther. And the waves obey. There is a passage here in the scripture where you see that God knows every strand of your hair, and He knows the count of the hair of your head. He knows every single strand of it. And He knows the number of the sand in the sea. And the stars, the number of the stars in the sky. And He knows all of them. And the Word of God says that He upholds everything by the power of His Word. Wow, that is an amazing thought. Jesus Christ is the sustainer of everything. Wow. No rogue molecule can ever escape His rule. Folks, that speaks of control, absolute control of everything. If Jesus is the image of the invisible God, it speaks of His deity. If Jesus is the firstborn of all creature, that speaks of His supremacy. That Jesus sustains everything in the universe. He holds together in His power by the power of His Word. That speaks of His sovereignty. And the fourth description that we have in Colossians about Jesus Christ is that He is the head of the church. And that is a categorical description of His preeminency. And that's why in our church today, I want us all to look to Him for guidance, to look for Him for governance, to look to Him for everything that we do, for everything that we say from this pulpit, in our classrooms, in all of our services. We look to Christ. Why? Because He is the head of the church, not the pastor, not the deacon, not the trustees, not the members. Christ is. This morning, we see further the sufficiency of Christ, the fullness of deity in the person of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, who's the Him therefore? Who is that? Jesus Christ. For in Him should all fullness dwell. What fullness are you talking about, Apostle Paul? This describes the total or fullness of something. Again, something what? What something? What is that something? Well, it just so happens that we have a verse up here on the screen, and it says what? Colossians 2:9. For in, who's the Him there? Jesus Christ is the Him there. For in Him dwelleth, what does that mean? In Jesus resides what? Some of the fullness, a little bit of the fullness, a mixture of a man, sort of a demigod fullness. No. All the class, what does it say? Fullness of the Godhead bodily. And He are complete in Him. Speaks of Christ's sufficiency. It speaks of Christ, that God was satisfied with Him, satisfied completely, and thus the pleasure of the Father. We see God in all of His glory, God in all of His infinite wisdom, God in all of His characteristics as one that is holy, one that is otherly, one that is so different, one that is so separated from us. This God, His glory, His wisdom, His character, all of His nature finds His residence in the person of Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I told you this was a sort of a conclusion to the argument that the Apostle Paul is making. He's saying to them, do not listen to the deceptive teachers that have come to you in that Christ is, yeah, he was a good man, a good preacher, and blessed by God. The Apostle Paul is saying, he is God. All the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. We do not come short. We must not come short when we teach and preach and talk about Jesus Christ. Yes, he is truly man, but yes, he is truly God indeed. My friends, I don't know what it is that you're looking for in life. I don't know what it is that you've invested your time and energy to pursue and find in this life. I don't know what it is that you're looking for to satisfy your heart's deepest longings. This one thing I know. This one thing I know from the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the only one who can satisfy you. He's the only one that can satisfy your deepest longings. For the Father was pleased. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And we find our completeness in Him. We find our satisfaction in Him. We find the sufficiency in Christ. Years ago, when I was courting my wife, this would serve as a perfect illustration of our human tendency to not be satisfied with anything, to not be satisfied with the things of the world. Christmas was just on the horizon, and so I purchased a jewelry for her that I thought she would love. But I wanted to do something that both she and I would remember for the rest of our lives. So I purchased a plain-looking Christmas card as well. Meanwhile, I did not know this until the day of the gift exchange. She had labored so well to give me the gift of a lifetime. She wanted to do something very special as well, because that was our first Christmas as a couple of single people seeking the Lord's will to marry or not to marry. The day of the gift exchange came. Her family members were there, and I think we had just finished a very delicious Christmas dinner. The fireplace was crackling in the background, and there was a cool air from outside that was so refreshing. Then she gave me my present. It was a pillow with an embroidered pillowcase where she had placed a couple of picture holders on the pillow, and it was very nicely done. And I think of my plain-looking Christmas card in my suit jacket pocket. And it was my turn to present to her my present for my lovely date. I pulled out the plain-looking Christmas card and handed it to her in front of her entire family. She reached for it, opened it up, and read the contents of the plain-looking Christmas card. And then she said the words which she regrets even to this day. And perhaps for the rest of her life. It was one of those moments where you wanted to say something, but you didn't want to say it because you didn't want to embarrass yourself or the one giving you the thing. It was one of those moments where the words have already come out and your eyes grew some hands to try to capture the words and put them back in your mouth. She said, "Is this it?" Each one of us has experienced an unsatisfied moment or two or three or a thousand moments. I'm here to proclaim to you that only Jesus Christ can satisfy your soul's deepest longings, and He is sufficient. For it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father to dwell in Christ all the fullness of the deity of all the Godhead, to be in Him bodily. Jesus Christ says, "I am the bread of life. If you come to me, I will satisfy your hunger. I am the living water. If you come to me, I can satisfy your thirst. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the great I am. Psalmist declares of Him and says, "Oh, taste that the Lord is good, and He is good indeed." Oh, folks, listen to my words. Christ is the only one who can satisfy your deepest longings, and so you must come to Him. Go to Him. Raise your empty hands and faith and put your trust in Him and ask Him to satisfy you. We are complete in Him. God said so Himself. The Father is pleased to dwell in Christ bodily. You know, in human history, the God, the Father, asked Adam, "Where are you, Adam?" Adam and Eve had disobeyed the one command God had given them and therefore plunged the entire human race in sin and death. The Apostle Paul records for us, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." God the Father had a big cosmic problem. Would He remain holy? Would He remain just? Would He be true to His word where He said, "If you eat of the forbidden fruit, you will die"? Or would His love, or would His mercy let Adam pass? Sort of giving him a warning ticket. That's a cosmic problem. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that Adam's sin was a surprise to God and that He needed to come up with a solution only at that moment. God, in His infinite wisdom, He already had a plan even before the foundations of the world. God the Father, because of His holy character, because of His justice, because of His love for justice, He could not just let Adam and Eve pass. The soul that sins, it shall die. But because of God's other attribute of love for Adam and Eve, He delayed their physical death, as if to say, I'm postponing your death penalty. And what did God do? He killed a couple of innocent lambs. And Moses records for us, the Lord God did make coats of skins and clothed them. But did those sacrificial lambs satisfy? Were the lambs slaughter as substitutes for the sins of the people sufficient? The coverings of tunic satisfied Adam and Eve for the meantime. But it did not erase their sin. The blood of the innocent lambs covered the sins of the people of Israel for a year at a time, but just for a time. They had to renew year after year after year after year. No, the blood of the innocent lambs were not sufficient. The writer of Hebrews said this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by Christ Jesus' own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And so you see, the record of John the Baptizer, you see that he was right when he pointed the people to Jesus coming unto him, coming down the slope where he was baptizing, and saith to the people, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Only Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, can satisfy the sin that so ravished the world. And it pleased the Father. Several times in the gospel testimonies, this is my beloved Son, the voice from heaven come down. And people heard it. This is my beloved Son, hear ye Him. And the Apostle Paul is saying, in Christ dwells the fullness of deity bodily in Jesus Christ. What do you think of Jesus? That's the very important matter in all the world. Who do you think Jesus Christ is? If you're wrong on that, my friend, you will die in your sins and go to hell. I don't want you to do that. I implore you to go to Christ and be saved. Be saved. Cling to Him. Put your faith in Him. Put your trust in Him. In Him alone. For it pleased the Father to dwell in Jesus Christ all the fullness of deity in the body, in the person of Jesus Christ.
Jesus asked Simon Peter a very important question. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. My friends, who do you say Jesus is? Your answer will determine your eternal destiny. I pray that you will see that Jesus is God in the flesh. Believe in His gospel, that He lived a perfect life. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again from the grave. call out to Him today. Thanks for listening to our commuter CD from Riverside Baptist Church in Southern California. For times of services and more information, please visit our website at www.rbcsocal.com. My name is Mark, and I hope to see you again next time on our commuter CD from RBC.